is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997.
Next on News for the Soul, Your Spiritual Life with Raymond Posch.
Raymond is a life mastery coach, writer, speaker, and host of the Spirituality Beckoning podcast. His book, Awakening to Wholeness, is a record of his exploration into spirituality and his personal awakening. As an avid speaker, his mission is to share his knowledge and help others to awaken to oneness and to make a positive difference in the world. Let's welcome Raymond back to News for the Soul.
Welcome, listeners. Today we have another show and another guest that I'm looking forward to speaking with. Margaret, I forgot to ask.
Agard.
The guest is Margaret Agard. We're going to be talking with Margaret today. She is an author and speaker, and she may do coaching as well. We'll find out more about that in just a few minutes, but welcome, Margaret. I'm glad to have you on the show. Yeah, let's get started. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get more deeply into that.
I am a mother. I have eight children. At one point, I was a single mom, and the sole financial support of those eight children, I was an executive in the high-tech industry. I worked with smaller companies because I still had a year left to get my degree. And so at one point, I was working full-time, working on my degree, and a single mother. So I was overwhelmed.
I imagine.
Yeah. You know how they say make your to-do list and break it out into different like A and B and C priorities? Well, everything on mine was an A priority.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of those jobs would be full-time, would be a 50-hour-a-week job. And I just didn't know how to do it. And it seemed like whatever I did, it turned out the next day that wasn't really necessary. You know, I'd study for a test, I'd walk in, there'd be a note on the door, oh, the teacher's sick, the test is postponed till Friday. Or I'd work on something for a client, I'd make sure some reports and things had been put into the system for them. I'd call on the client, maybe, you know what, we want to change that. We don't want it quite like that. And I thought, oh my gosh, I mean, I just can't seem to get it right. And I thought, well, you know, I'll call it God. Some people might call it, you know, universal intelligence or whatever, but God knows what's coming and what's not. So maybe I could just ask him, what do I really need to work on today? Mm-hmm. And so that's how the process started. I would sit down with my to-do list, which was overwhelming. I mean, I would be up till midnight, awake again at 4 in the morning. I wasn't getting any sleep, nothing. I didn't ever get anything, all of it done. And when I started asking that question, and anyone who knows how to meditate and sit quietly and hear that inner voice, that's what I was doing. I would just take that list and I would think, okay, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do this now. And I would start crossing things off. And then every once in a while I'd have a thought, but I ought to do this. And often the ought to, like, here, why don't you do this too, was to make a phone call to someone or to make a meal and drop it off at a neighbor's house or just little things like that. And my life completely changed. If I focused and only did the things that I had felt as I went through that process, I was able to sit down at 8 o'clock every night without feeling guilty. I never woke up in the middle of the night thinking, what did I not get done? I just knew it was all going to work out. And so that's the process that I began. And it flipped my life completely. Now that changed over time. Eventually, I started thinking, maybe I should ask him what he wants me to do. The way I was going about it is, here's what I have to do. What should I do? And then I started thinking, well, what do you want me to do? And then I started thinking, maybe there's more to life than what I'm focusing on. Like maybe he has a higher purpose, or she, whatever. And so I started saying, well, is there anything I could do to help you? So it really became a new life. Completely new life.
Much more right.
Yeah, I'm productive. I had enough. Let me think how to put this. I had enough. I didn't suddenly become wealthy, but I had sufficient.
Very good. Well, I'm sure listeners will want to hear a lot more about this. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And, I'm so glad to have you on the show. It's a very interesting story of your life. Was it 8 children that you
had? Yes, 8. And I think at that point, a couple were in college, but the only way I could help financially was say, well, you could live here for free. Oh. I'll give you meals. We weren't in a position to say, I'll pay your tuition. But, since I was going to school at the same time, we were actually able to get some grants and scholarships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like a big part of what you do now focuses around your books and your working on or ready to release a third book, if I understand it. And they are, I believe, called In Your...
In His Steps. And this is, I come at it from a biblical viewpoint, but there, I don't have any, scriptures in it. It's more like, that's my background. That's how I learned to recognize that still small voice.
Yeah.
And so on the first book is about the to-do list, giving my to-do list to God. I gave my life to God by giving him my to-do list. And that's what I just talked about. And then what happened as a result. The second one is at some point I thought, boy, it'd be nice if I could just spend all day doing this. I didn't have to do all the things we somehow keep busy with. Like, what if my life was 24/7? What do you want me to do, God? So we went, I actually ended up married a second time. And that also was God directed. And we ended up spending 3 years traveling and serving as missionaries. Wow. And then the third book, the one I'm working on that is taking a while to finish, these are all memoirs, is how that marriage happened. And, Ray, you use the word wholeness and whole in your books and in your speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had felt that I was to marry this, I was going to meet someone in the fall that I was going to marry. And I wasn't looking. I didn't want to get married. And so I had a few months to come to terms with that, and we got married. And so you would think that, well, if the universe led me here to this person, and here he was, that this would be a match made in heaven, and things would just be smooth sailing, and they were not. I have an alcoholic grandfather, and a lot of people, if you grow up with alcoholism, you pick up those traits. Mm. A lot of people who have alcoholic parents end up married to alcoholics or some other kind of addictive person. Well, I was a grandfather, so I'm a step back. I actually marry sons of alcoholics. That seems to be what I do. And so he had a lot of wounds. And I can remember one day, just so much upset going on. I felt like if this is right, it doesn't look right. And so I knelt and I said, I need a promise to hold on to if I'm supposed to stay in this marriage. And the thought that immediately came to mind was, all will be made whole as a result of this marriage.
Hmm.
And in the Bible, Christ uses the word whole. And the word it comes from, the Greek word that it comes from, actually is referring to a spiritual and emotional wholeness more than just a physical wholeness.
Right.
So, yeah. So when you think of the times that word whole is used, which is what your book is about, that word whole is used when there's 10 lepers and one comes back to thank him. And he says to him, the others, he said they were healed, right? Their leprosy, go see the priest. One comes back to thank him and he says, your faith has made you whole. And that's how he uses the words. So I understood what whole meant. I understood that it meant that for my children, for my new husband's children, and for us, this marriage was an opportunity to bring wholeness to these families. And so we really worked on the marriage, and that's what the book is about. And that's the third book in the series. Now, the three books and where they can be bought and are on inhisfootsteps.com on the first page that's listed.
Yeah.
So thanks for asking.
Right. Okay. You know, one of the first things I wanted to ask you about, let me stop a moment. You know, this is the very first time that I've had a guest on the show who is, a Christian and following Christian path to at least to some degree, and we could expand on that. But you know, I consider myself as spiritual but not religious,
right?
And I was, I was raised as a Christian, a Catholic, I left that behind at a point in my life, and in fact, I became an atheist, and eventually something happened to me.
I remember this. I know your book is so interesting. Go ahead.
Something happened to me that an event that really got my attention, and that led me to discover God again, I guess we could say. And I've often I speak of it in terms of infinite intelligence or divine spirit. I know a lot of people who had, particularly Catholic upbringing and maybe other denominations as well of Christian, had fear of God so drilled into them that they kind of shy away from the term God. But, I think I've mostly gotten past that at this point in my life. And I think wholeness is so important. And I did write my book about that some time ago. And I'd probably write a totally different book today. But
then you should.
I will. I haven't started a second book yet. But one of the things that jumped out at me in your bio, you called yourself a Christian mystic. Tell us what a Christian mystic is, in your words.
In my words, yes. Well, a Christian mystic is one who lives in the spirit, or attempts to live in the spirit or with the spirit constantly. Mm-hmm. And that has been a big quest of mine. How do I always have that spirit with me? That spirit that actually brings love and peace and joy, that allows me to see other people with love, that allows me to be accepting of whatever situation comes up because I know I'm being directed. Mm-hmm. And that's my thought of how a Christian mystic lives and what I do. And I have to tell you, Ray, my meditation is contemplative prayer, a Catholic tradition. And I found out about that because when I do my silent retreats, I go to the Catholics. That's where I go. Which is, I never go to Mass. I don't have a clue what's going on there, what's being taught. I just know this is where I get a lot of knowledge.
So what is contemplative prayer?
It's a Catholic tradition. But my question when I went to my first 3-day silent retreat was, how do I always live with that spirit with me, guiding and directing me? And I'd had some experience in the past, and I just wasn't quite getting it. And my daughter said, you know what I do in the morning is I just get up and I sit with God until he says, that's long enough, go. And I thought, I have not a clue what you're talking about. How do you just sit with God? I have to pray. And so this book on contemplative prayer, it explains that it's a meditation in the sense that you're quieting your mind, mm-hmm. and you connect with that sense of peace and joy that the Christian tradition would call the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us that when you have the Spirit with you, you are patient and kind and all those things that he says describes love. And all of a sudden, when I read that, I thought, I know what that is. That's, I know how to connect to that because I do that all the time. It's how I ask, who do you need me to help? Or after I've been helping someone and I'm just driving along, I can feel this sense of love and peace and joy. And so I thought, well, I know how to do that. I can just sit there and be connected. And so then I went to a, a 5-day retreat on learning how to really do contemplative prayer. Someone might go and say, I'm going to learn how to really meditate and go to a Buddhist camp or something. So that's what I did. And they actually showed a film of people doing contemplative prayer. And when I would connect with that spirit, have my eyes closed, and I would just start smiling because it felt good. And so I'm sitting here watching this video of, you know, people being given instructions to start contemplative prayer. And I see all these gray-haired women just start smiling. And I thought, yep, I know where they are. I know what they're feeling. So that, it's very quiet. I just sit quietly and just let that love in.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some good experiences that, Ray, you're going to appreciate this.
And do you,
go ahead.
In your prayers, do you begin by asking a question, you know, what should I do next? Or
so that's different from when I'm doing contemplative prayer. Contemplative prayer is more meditative. It's
okay.
More just, I'm there. I'm just sitting quietly.
All right.
I have asked questions during it. And one of the questions I asked was, I basically said, how you, universal intelligence, how whoever you are, whatever this is, how do you know everywhere what's happening? And I had a picture in my mind of a web, like a spider web. And you know how the way the spider web works, the spider's sitting at the top, and we might not, that's probably not a good image for people, but when something moves and something happens, the spider is aware of it because it's all connected. It's all interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it. Okay. It's all connected and interconnected. And then maybe a few months later, I'd been doing contemplative prayer for a while. And I am a type A personality. At some point I said, you know, it's kind of boring. I'm just sitting here quieting my mind. And the thought came, well, you know, you can connect. And as the love flows through you, you can connect to that web and send love. You can send it to a specific person. You can just put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually do kind of want to connect, and I'm doing that. I actually raise my hands as if I'm like doing Reiki or something. Mm-hmm. I just send it out. And I enjoy doing that kind of contemplative prayer where I can sit there and feel love and send love.
Very good.
Hmm.
And you just mentioned the another thing that I wanted to ask you about, because I think it's an unusual combination. If, you know, based on Christians that I know, that you are a Reiki healer as well.
I am. And I came back accidentally. I was an executive in the high-tech industry. And when I retired from that, I thought, you know, I want to do something completely different. I want to become a massage therapist. Mm-hmm. And the training I went to, the first thing that the trainer did was attune us to become Reiki healers.
Mm-hmm.
So that as we did massage, we were just giving Reiki. Now, being Christian, I thought, should I be doing this? And then I thought, you know, I prayed a little bit, and the answer was, you know, how often did Christ heal by touching? And how often were people healed when they touched him? That there is an energy. And the way I explain it to people is, if you've ever used a TENS machine, you know, that electric machine where you will put, and this works for people, electricity will heal bone, it will heal sinew, and it will help with nerve endings, but you can't see it. You can feel it.
Right.
But you can't see it. And what Reiki does is it connects to that earth energy. And when I when I first started Reiki level one, you actually have to put your hands on people. Reiki level two, you don't have to even be in the same room, and you can just aim it at people. Although I haven't gotten that good. I still have to be there. I just don't put my hands on them. I'll put it above them.
Mm-hmm.
They will feel it. They will say, oh, I feel that crit on my toes. So I can't describe that energy. I just know it is an energy and it's healing.
Yes. I've never been to a Reiki therapist myself, but I think I know how it might feel or does feel, because I did have a very powerful energy healing experience many years ago, and it was called a oneness blessing, and I felt the energy very powerfully. I mean,
yes.
And a warmth, and
yeah,
you know, almost it's shocking. Not electrically.
You're not
shocking,
expecting it. Yeah, you're not expecting it.
But it's just so it's so powerful that it is surprising.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I don't think of it as earth energy, although I think that point of view can be hailed. I think of it as God energy.
Yes.
And maybe that's the same.
Maybe that's the same. Yes. Because in our church we give oil blessings, like Christ, lay his hands on people's head and bless them. And what's interesting is when I do Reiki, people will say, oh my gosh, I can feel that right down through my toes.
Mm.
And I'm touching their heads. And I've heard people say that about those oil blessings and what you just described. I can feel that through my whole body. There is an energy we're connecting to. So, I appreciate that. You don't have to be anything special. That's how I feel. Like, oh my gosh, if I can do it, anyone can.
Okay.
A friend who, you go to writer's groups. I do. When you're writing, usually, to make your writing better. It's a craft, like learning to play the piano. And so I was going to a writer's group, and we hand our pieces around. Most people write fiction. And so one woman was reading mine, and she said, I don't really like your main character. She's really kind of selfish and whiny. And I thought, well, it's a memoir, right? And I am selfish and whiny. And if God can work through me, he can probably work through you. So, yeah.
All right. So, over the years, I definitely have used different ways and techniques to try to connect with the infinite. I believe it always requires being quieting the mind.
Yes.
Being in a meditative state, shifting to. The way I often describe it is it's shifting into a state of awareness as opposed to, heavy thinking.
Yeah.
So, you have to get still and open and receptive.
Yes.
Yes. And so, but over the years, I've definitely had kind of ups and downs where I will sit and try to connect with God and it doesn't happen.
It's not there.
And I don't receive an answer. So how do you tell people, how do you know when God is speaking to you and how do you open up to that?
Those are good questions, Ray. And I actually tell a couple stories in both all my books. That's going to be the main question because I'll be talking about listening to. And so near the beginning, I will share some experiences. This is how I learned it.
Okay.
At one point, when I was in my 20s, I heard someone say, I prayed and I asked God, and I know you're supposed to stay until you feel some answer. And I thought, what? What are we talking about here? I thought you just said it, got up and left. And so I went and prayed and said, I don't understand when you're talking to me. I don't know how to do this. I don't even know if I would know. In fact, since I don't know, I don't even know how you could teach me because I don't know.
Right.
So what happened? I had three experiences that week and I'll just share one. I was making a pot of chili and And I don't know what I thought the recipe, it turned out I had to get a second pot out because I was more and more ingredients. And I thought, oh, this is a huge pot of chili. And then the thought came, invite, we'll call them the Joneses, to dinner. And I thought, you know, we just had the dinner Friday and this is Monday. So that would be dumb. I'm not going to do that. I'm still working on my pot of chili. And the thought comes again, invite the Joneses to dinner. And I thought, no. I've already told you I'm not doing it. I feel like I'm arguing with myself, right? And then the third time it came. So often when a thought keeps coming back, and it's a good thought.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in our church, we have something where on Monday nights, we just gather as a family and focus on scriptures. And so Monday night, we don't usually have people over because it's just supposed to be our family.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I know, but tonight's our family night. And the thought came, we'll invite them to stay for your family night. And so, all right, so I called them, I invited them, they came. Now, our lesson happened to be on tithing. It's interesting that even, atheists, even people who claim no Christian thing, who are financial experts will say, give away 10% of your money. Like, I've read that in so many books, and I think, So we were teaching our children who were young at the time about tithing. And because we were talking about tithing, the people said to us, the Joneses said, we have a story. Excuse me, I thought I had all this turned off. And it was, they wanted to pay tithing, and they hadn't, and they were struggling, and they got a big check, and it could either cover their entire tithing, or they could buy food with it, or they could pay part tithing, buy some food, like that, right? And they thought about it and prayed about it and went to church, and they paid their tithing, all of it. And they said, and then we had, before we left church that day, people had invited us to dinner every night of the week. We were getting fed every night of the week, except Monday. Okay. I called. And I thought, no, that's interesting. Because I think God works with us, our bitterness, wherever they are. And I know I keep calling them God, and some people might be offended by that, and I apologize. But I had two other experiences like that that week. And these are the thoughts I had. God speaks to me. He often will say the same thing more than once because I'm not hearing it the first couple of times.
Persistence.
And yeah, he will. At some point he stops. And then I journal. I often start after that, I start journaling and I just write what I was thinking. And at some point I realized it wasn't me. That what I was writing were thoughts coming from out beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing I've noticed is that he's very, this inner spirit is very specific and uses words I know, but don't use. For one of our missions, we went up to Alaska, that's not where I wanted to go. I was like, oh, Alaska, dark, there's grizzly bears. And we're trying to prepare. And as we're trying to prepare, I said, is there anything else I should be doing to prepare? So that was my thought. And the answer immediately came, take a brisk walk every day. Now, I know the word brisk. I have never in my life, in any conversational way, used the word brisk. I always say, oh, it's brisk outside. But I know what the word means. And it was saying, you don't have to take up jogging. But I don't want you out there just strolling along smelling the roses. Like, get your heartbeat up. Take a brisk walk every day. Turned out we needed because we ended up in an Alaskan village north of the Arctic Circle where we couldn't bring our car. We had to walk everywhere.
Mm.
And I was in shape to do that.
Yes.
So to me, that's it. It's like a thought will come multiple times. Especially if you journal, you'll start to recognize the difference. And he will use or the spirit will use language that you know, but in maybe a slightly different way.
Yes, I'm so glad you mentioned journaling because I've not been heavily into journaling. I don't journal like every day currently, but I have been in recent times journaling for periods of time as I focus on something that I want to expand in my life. And I learned this technique from trying to recall, it was either Jean Houston or another woman spiritual teacher, and she taught a very, it's a very powerful technique where you kind of do this cyclical process, I'll call it, you know, of quieting the mind, but having your journal open. And and a common way is to ask a question to God or the universe or whoever you think of as being that that power out there that could answer you. And and as ideas and answers come, you can stop kind of the meditative stillness, journal for a bit, and then ask your next question.
Yes.
And that's very powerful. You know, it doesn't always work to sit down and get quiet and ask a question, and you don't always get an immediate answer back. And I think that's, it really does have to do with your inner state. For the most part, you're asking the question, but you're judging all the ideas that you have already.
That's true.
And that, mm-hmm. that blocks that, that higher insight, you know, so you may actually be blocking yourself, but you know, for whatever reasons, sometimes answers don't come immediately. But I found like some of the most powerful connections that I felt that I made to God or the infinite is like several years ago, I had been going through a lot of struggle trying to make a business work, and it wasn't working. And I was to the point where I was thinking, what is my purpose anyway? I thought I knew what it was, but now I feel lost. So I got very quiet and I asked, what is my purpose? And the answer was immediate. And like what you described, it was in words that I, you know, the answer wasn't something I expected. And that answer was, learn to know God and to help others know God. And, you know, I hadn't thought in terms of knowing God. And so the answer surprised me, but I felt that it was, you know, it wasn't my thought that,
no.
You know, it was.
That thought would never have come to you.
Those were words coming from outside of me,
outside.
Not beyond,
outside.
Beyond me. Yeah. So I think that's important and a key part of what you do when you turn your to-do list over to God. And is it always in terms of asking the next step or?
It is, although of course it's gone beyond that. I often have a thought, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. And I'm going to share a couple stories because we are the helping hands. You know, we are the people that bring help and blessings to each other. And so we are all individuals. I know we're all part of a greater whole, but we all are individuals in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I, calling him God, is concerned with each individual. He's infinite. He has, you know, people are like, well, I hate to bother him with my daughter needs a prom dress and they don't have money when there's a war going on in Iraq. And it's like, you know what? He's infinite. He can take care of your daughter's prom dress mm-hmm. and the people. So I've had thoughts like this. At 5 o'clock today, I want you to drive to town. And you have some cash. I want you to deposit it. And I thought, you know, I've kind of thought through my whole week and what I have coming, and I don't need to drive to town today to do that. And I was trying to can tomatoes. Someone once said, nobody cans anymore. I thought, well, I do. Okay, so I was trying to can tomatoes.
Yeah, I relate to that.
Yeah.
I grew up with my mom canning
stuff. Yeah. So I But again, the thought came three times. And I thought, oh, this isn't me. This is God saying, I want you to go to town today. And so it normally comes like, not like, I want you to do this. It normally comes as just a thought. I should go to town and deposit this money. No, I don't need to. No, I should go to town and deposit this money. Third time it comes like, oh, I probably need to go. And I can actually ask. You know how you wrote about journaling? Sometimes you can then read back what you wrote and say, is that all? Or is there more? Mm-hmm. And here's how I understand it. So at that point, I said, so do I need to go right now? I said, no, I want you to go at 5 tonight. And so I managed to get my tomatoes back calculated, the pressure canner, all that thing, so I could leave at 5. And I was actually a few minutes late, 5:15, hit the freeway. It's like 4 miles from my house to the freeway. I always lived in the country. It was going to be like, this was a 30-mile trip. This wasn't a run downtown. And as I hit the freeway, I could see someone look like a woman with long blonde hair walking down the road just past our entrance to the freeway. And I thought, oh, should I be giving this person a ride? And it was yes. So I pulled over, and it was actually a young man. And he'd been walking. He was a fast walker. It was a hot day. He'd walked something like 25 miles, and no one offered him a ride.
Wow.
And I said, okay, where I'm going, there's a truck stop. I can drop you at that truck stop. It's about 20 miles down the road from where we were. And he said, that would be helpful. So I heard his story and this crazy stuff about how he ended up walking. And as I'm pulling up to the truck stop, I could feel that voice say, give him $20. And I never, I was like, well, all right. He said, look, you've got plenty. Just give the young man $20. And so I said, here. And I didn't even say, guess what? This is from God. So he gets out of the car, and as I was driving away, I felt the Spirit say, see how much I love that young man. See how much I love that young man, that he would send someone to help him. To me, that is often what I get. Here's the thing. That might happen to me twice a year. Every day I'm asking, and maybe twice a year, things like that happen. That lets me know this really is God.
Yeah.
And so once it was call this lady. Well, I knew that because of medication she took, that she never fell asleep till about 4 a.m, and she usually slept till noon. So I said, well, it was like 7, because that's when I'm looking at my to-do list, right? You don't have to call her now. Call her about 1. So I called her at 1. All this noise in the background. And I thought, I didn't realize it was her cell. For some reason, I thought it was her home phone number. And she said, oh, I'm in the hospital. The doctor just told us that my brother has incurable brain cancer. We didn't even know he was sick. And I was like, oh my gosh, like when did this happen? And she said, 5 minutes ago. I was like, what? She said, 5 minutes ago. So, he knows, God knows what's coming. Universal intelligence knows what's coming. And she said, I was just thinking, I need to talk to someone. I was thinking, I need to talk to Margaret. And I called her right when she needed me to do that. And so I try to pay attention. It can be difficult, especially when we're busy. You know what's really hard, Ray? Laid out my to-do list, and I am committed to my plan as many years as I've been doing this. And then I start praying, and it's don't do this, don't do this. And I think, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want my plans changed. So it's still hard for me to do it. It helps if I do it at night before I've gotten really committed to my plan.
Yeah, I relate to that so much there. I was project manager, and, project managers, it's all about the plan, What's your to-do list for today? What's the project plan over the next X number of months? And so, I think that must have been hard for you to make that shift and stop and ask, what do you want me to do today?
Yes, still can be hard. Sometimes I won't talk to him for a few days because, you know what? I don't want to know. So I'm not very good at it, but when I do it, it's great. That's all I'm saying. When I do it, it's great, and I love it, and I wish I wasn't so willful, but there you go. Other people have
that. Right. And that's,
tell me, oh, it worked for me. Like, I stopped making these big long lists, and I'll ask God, and my life has totally changed.
Yeah, and I'm trying to make that kind of shift myself right now, and a shift more to asking, you know, what is my role in your plan and what would you have me do today? And it's it is difficult to not be so willful and to open up to something bigger.
So I have a couple things to share along that line. And one is, you know, the question I asked about how to always have that spirit of love and peace with us. And one day I had been out driving around helping someone, and I was feeling just full of that. And I pulled up at a stop sign and I'm waiting. I can see this car coming. It's kind of slow enough that I couldn't pull out in front of him, but fast enough that I couldn't pull in front of him, but slow enough that I was kind of like, oh, are you ever going to get here? And then when he got there, he turned. So I could have gone if he'd had his turn signal on. And so I had that sense of irritation. You know, if he just put your turn signal on. And immediately that spirit fled. It was just gone. Just a tiny, tiny bit of irritation. And so I sometimes look at driving in rush hour traffic as a practice at instant forgiveness. That's what I think of it as. Instant forgiveness. You cut me off. You're forgiven. Because I want to keep that spirit with me.
So, you know, a lot of what I've been thinking about in recent times is, it began with paying attention to the books by Marianne Williamson.
Yes.
Return to Love and The Divine Law of Compensation.
Yes.
You know, she describes how she went through some really difficult times in her life and finally came to the point where she studied A Course in Miracles. And from that book, she learned we need to shift away from fear to love.
Yes.
Things begin to change in our life when we do that. You know, being anxious about what we need to do, being totally wrapped up in all of our obligations and all of that is very fear-driven. But if we can catch ourselves and realize that's what we're doing and then shift to love and to love oneself for one thing, but to open up to kind of the bigger picture of life and how can I be an instrument of love today? How can I be a voice of love today? It's you talked about how you feel that shift in yourself.
Yes.
My experience is, wow, that is a powerful shift. I mean, you feel your energy level rise and your state of being in the world, you know, kind of a happiness, but shifting from all of the have-tos and the things I must do to what I really need to do right now and opening to inner guidance is a very powerful thing. And that sounds like what you talk about in your books as well.
Yes. And so I've noticed two things. One is I will end up in the right place to help someone. It might look like this should be something I'd be irritated about. And the second is it's all going to work out. So if I'm driving to an appointment and I've been in that spirit and I'm running late, I'm like, you know what? It's all going to work out. And I will. So I'll get there and people will all be running behind and they'll be like, this is fine. And once I got lost driving my kids home from school to the house. Now, who does that? Like, I don't even know where we are, kids. Where are we? And then I realized, oh, look, there's the neighborhood supermarket. So I pulled in and I said, you know, if I got lost like that, there must be someone we need to help here. And sure enough, we did find someone who needed help. And I can describe two or three times like that. Once we were lost in a downtown neighborhood in the city at night trying to get to a friend's house. And we kept driving around, you know, we're GPS then. And then we saw a person with the hood up on their car by the side of the road. And we pulled over. We were able to give them a jump so they could get started going home. It was dark and a little scary. And once they were on their way, we went right to the place. So I, many, many times I have learned to say, oh, this is not where I intended to be. There must be someone here I can help. And so those are small things. It's not like I became Mother Teresa, went down and started this whole thing in India. It's mm-hmm. always one person at a time that I'm helping.
All
right. So I just learned to be okay with it, you know,
yeah.
just be okay with it.
Thank you for sharing these stories. They're really registering with me in terms of, I need to pay more attention to that. And I think that's probably true for the listeners as well. So, thank you for sharing your stories. Let's see here. So one of the things that I saw that you mentioned is, and so I'm going to ask you this question. What's one prayer that can improve almost any relationship?
It's interesting because you were talking about, loving like God. And so what I pray is, help me to see this person as you do. And the first thing that happened, my son Daniel was 15, and he was just the most arrogant, stubborn, demanding 15-year-old you could ever hope to run into. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And he was lettering in three sports and, varsity teams. I just thought, he really thinks he's something. Well, actually, at that point, he wasn't. I think at that, yes, he was. And so I was with Heavenly Father, I didn't know. I love the kid because he's my son, right? But I don't like him much. And he said, I want you to pray this prayer. So I prayed it. And a few days later, I'm at my mom's house. That's when people had all these women's magazines, Good Housekeeping, all that stuff. I'm flipping through her magazines and I see this article about a kid writing about how he had been sexually abused by a coach. And he, had said that. And so the coach was being, charged.
Hmm.
And I thought, I'm going to read this because if something like that just happened in our small town, that's what I was thinking, something like that just happened here. And as I read it, I realized it was about our town and that coach and that boy. And what the boy said was people were so mean to him because he was a popular coach and he wasn't a particularly popular kid. And the only thing, he became suicidal. The only thing that kept him going is he had on the desk, his desk bedside table, framed a note with a petition where someone had written, we believe you and we're standing with you. And there were only five names on it. And I remembered the day I had dropped my son off at school and he said, I've written this petition up and we're going to pass it around the school for this kid. And he had written that note. His name was on that note.
Oh.
And the school wouldn't let him pass it around. So only he and his five friends were allowed. I think they were tired of having it talked about at school. It's just like, we're not talking about this here. And so when I read that article and realized that it was my son who did that, it absolutely changed how I saw him.
Mm.
So I have done that prayer. I can't tell you how many times. And people I think are total jerks. And how could God even love these people? They will do something. They'll say something. I will completely see them in a different way.
So, it's really interesting that because I had at a point in my life turned away from church and prayer, I really stopped thinking in terms of, prayer as being a way that works. because so much of, I think, people's prayers is very, coming from a point of begging and, rescue me from this situation.
Yes.
But Jesus taught, and really I had tuned out the ideas of Jesus for a long time. But through Marianne Williamson, I really began to understand Jesus and his teachings much more. And he was a very powerful spiritual master and teacher.
we don't always understand clearly the message in the Bible.
No.
You know, and so sometimes it helps to have an interpreter like Marianne Williamson.
Yeah.
But prayer used properly, you know, can be very powerful. And one of the techniques that Jesus taught was that you must come from the perspective of knowing that the universe is, and these aren't his words, but knowing that the universe is infinite, infinitely abundant. And if you see yourself as having what you want, that is a more powerful way of thinking and praying. I am this powerful person. I am receiving the abundance that I need. So
I have some thoughts about that. Often people do come at it from a worldly viewpoint. I want, I want, I want.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I'm looking at it, the want part is help me to be a part of your plan and to help people feel loved, mm-hmm. and to make sure people are taken care of. And that often gets me into not good situations, okay? Mm-hmm. So if what I were worried about is, am I comfortable and do I have enough and, you know, did I get where I wanted to on time? That I would feel as if my prayer had failed. But if what I'm thinking about is, oh my gosh, I'm lost, there must be someone I'm here to help, that completely changes the situation. And the prayer, what is your purpose for me? Think about Paul singing in prison. He's going to sing in prison, for Pete's sake, you're in prison. But he was glad to be there because he knew he could spread the love of God there. So sometimes we might look at it and say, well, he failed. Like, who ends up in prison? He's praying.
Right.
So I guess I'm saying I reject some of the teachings that just pray for your BMW and you're going to get it.
Yeah. And, so one of the things that I've really come to understand in a much more powerful way is that the universe is a oneness, a wholeness,
yes,
but we don't see it because of our limited use of our mind, the way we think about it. And if we can understand that the universe is all good and trying to serve us all,
yeah,
and we could, if we choose to participate in that process instead of all on our own trying to fight this battle and, you know, get what we want and be this big, big person in business or whatever it is, if we could come to understand that, we could change our whole view of life and our whole way of life.
Yeah.
And I saw that in what you said about your experience and your books, and that's definitely why I asked you to be a guest on this show.
Thanks, Ray.
And I love what you've contributed to the conversation, and your stories and your insights have been great things to share with the listening audience. I have a number of regular podcast followers, but there's a huge audience that's on newsforthesoul.com, and all sorts of people, maybe today especially, are choosing to tune in more to how do I learn more about spirituality, because I don't like what I see in the world and I don't like what I'm feeling, I hope those people are looking for answers to how can I approach life differently. Right. So, any final words of wisdom that you would like to share?
Ray, my goal, similar to yours, is to bring people to connect with that infinite intelligence and to turn their lives over to that kind of leading, the world would be a much better place. People would be cared for, and we would all have enough. That's how I feel.
Right. Excellent. Thank you. And what is your website or websites?
It's inhisfootsteps.com. And there's a newsletter option there. I send 1 month. I'm lazy, see? So you'll never get more than one email from me because I'm too lazy to write anymore. And the three books are there.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so inhisfootsteps.com. And thank you again so much, Margaret. You have a great day.
Thanks. You too, Ray.
And to my listeners, have a great day and a great life.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.